I optimize my schedule to be the most creative I can be. If there's something that doesn't involve creativity, I just batch it and then I try to find someone else to do it. I just try to focus most of my day on coming up with creative ideas. It's weird because I love doing this stuff. So it's like no matter what happens, I'm always going to come back to either making music, trying to act, or trying to make videos that make people laugh.
Welcome to the Grant Owen Podcast, where we explore the world of entrepreneurship. Join us as we dive into the nitty-gritty of what it takes to start, grow, and scale a successful business. We're on a mission to share our experiences, failures, insights, and advice with others. Whether you're just starting out in your entrepreneurial journey or you're looking to take your business to the next level, tune in and join the conversation about what it takes to succeed in the world of business. We going for Welcome to the Grant Owen Podcast. I'm Grant Owen. I have the awesome pleasure of hanging out with Austin Crispell. Crispell, love it, dude. I have a little background. I'm gonna give you a proper intro. Can I give you a proper intro?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I went to an event like 13 months ago. It was in February. I remember it distinctly because it was like the 18th or 19th. I went to an event in Miami. It was called the Miami Amazon Sellers Conference. Amazon Sellers is like both me and Austin have connection with people within that space. Both of us have worked with people in that space. And I went to this event and I was like, this is a cool event. It's pretty tight. I'm kind of a tiny little Amazon seller. It's cool to hear what people are doing. At the very end, this jacked guy, absolutely yoked, TRT'd up. I don't even know what you're on, but just you were absolutely like you were in there. Mustache and a mullet, just standing out like a ton. And you go up and you blew everybody's mind because you showcased that like how attainable content could be. And you flew through a presentation and you actually have never really posted clips about it. I saw you posted like maybe two from whatever that event was. But like genuinely, as soon as I saw you do that, in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I feel like I've been consulting on this. I feel like I consume so much of this content. I had already been deep diving on Ryan McGinn and short form agency stuff. And I was like, frick it, man. I just want to do whatever that guy does. So I'm not even kidding you. I get home. Like this is like you said, it was like Saturday. I get home Sunday night and I made an LLC that night. I was like, frick it. I'm going to go. And I started Integrity Media and got the LLC filed. And then got my first client the month after that, got my second client the month after that. And then since then, I've just like, I've scaled my agency. But it was stemmed from like, awesome. I looked at what you did and I was like, that guy gets views. That seems like a really cool thing. I just want to do what that guy does. And I just appreciate you. It like opened my eyes.
I appreciate the intro.
I didn't know anybody did short form content other than you and Ryan McGinn at that time. And that was I was like, Austin's doing it. I got to do it.
Got to point out one flaw though. Not on TRT. All natty.
Okay. Oh, no shot. Really? No, I don't. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
For real. Natty,
bro. Yeah, no, like dead ass. I've only like supplement I take is creatine and turkesterone.
That's crazy, dude. Yeah, because you're shredded. You're absolutely shredded. Yeah,
if you not much anymore, bro. Ever since I've started building this, I got a little chubbier, but starting
really?
To burn that off now.
The girlfriend brought on the poundage. The girlfriend, you didn't grind in the gym as much since you got her.
Exactly.
That makes sense. That checks out. Anyway, well, I want to dive in. So like a lot of the stuff, I mean, people that are familiar with your content, I feel like people just kind of hate you online. It's like really funny. So I want to dive into that first because I'm like, I think your content's the funniest shit. Like it's like, it's brilliant. But people despise you for it. Why did you start making content with the intention of being like, I want to artistically piss people off?
Yeah, dude, it's honestly like I've been making videos since I was probably like 15 or 16 years. I mean, longer, but like I didn't start taking TikTok seriously until I was like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And when I started, I mostly just started documenting my journey as an entrepreneur. I would like record myself going to garage sales, reselling books on Amazon, etc. But then as time went on, I started just like experimenting into making different styles of content. Like I would just make comedy videos, stuff like that. But I think the shift really happened once a bunch of traumatic stuff happened in my life. Like at age 17, I've just had like month after month of just stuff that 17-year-olds shouldn't be experiencing. Like I got out of a 3-year relationship. My grandpa died. My dad died. and then my uncle died, like all in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And it was probably just like one of the lowest points of my life. And the only way I got through that was just by making a joke out of everything. Like I would joke about my dad dying. I would joke about all the fucked up shit in my life. And that's what got me through it. So I think the only way that I could like artistically make content was just by making a joke out of anything in my life. So that's kind of where like the unethical way to make money stuff stemmed from. And then from there, I kind of just branched into more videos where I'm just like doing like satire stuff.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun for me because it's kind of like a form of therapy where it's just like I have all these fucked up thoughts in my mind.
Yeah.
And now I can actually turn them into a piece of media.
Yeah.
And then it's amazing because like half the people understand it's a joke. Half the people don't realize I'm joking. And then they just argue in the comment section. And it's really fun.
Well, the funny thing for you is like, so a lot of the paths, like I think your biggest stuff usually is like the unethical ways to make money. That's like, that's the biggest theme that you've hit most consistently. Is that just like you just letting your internal narrative of like, how could I screw over people? Is that just like letting it go?
Yeah, dude. I like, or like I'll see something on TikTok of like, of a fucked up thing that someone actually did. And I'm like, okay, how can I put this on steroids?
Yeah.
Like I learned what the term, what's it called? A striker was, where it's basically like in Detroit, they like swap VINs on stolen cars. I'm like, okay, what's a way we can make money off of this? Yes. And I just turned it into an elaborate video.
And
I pride myself on my creativity. So yeah. I just try to come up with the most fucked up shit possible and put it out there.
What is that? Has that translated to business for you? I'm actually like genuinely curious from virality.
It has, but like not, it's not because of the virality is just a byproduct. What gives me the business is people, my prospects, they see my page, they see how creative I am. And since I'm so creative, that just makes me go viral. But it's not, like they're not working with me just because I have millions of views and like hundreds and thousands of followers. They're working with me because they see I'm creative and I think outside the box. And that's what I can bring to their business.
Yeah. Well, so then how did, that's actually curious about it because I'm thinking about like, I like the entertainment side. Entertainment content is just like so much more fun. Like comedy stuff, entertaining stuff. It's like, it's just so much more enjoyable for me to like make that.
Yeah, it's fulfilling.
How do you blend that with like business content? Because there's the business content, like nurture and convert stuff. And then there's like, just give me eyeballs.
I think about this a lot. And it's a little different for me because my end goals, for context, like I want to be an actor and I want to be a musician, like A-list level actor musician. And literally in my free time, I'm just submitting for acting roles. I'm creating music. I'm coming up with video ideas for social media. So like I genuinely enjoy doing that. I'm not doing this stuff to get more business. I'm doing this stuff because it's fulfilling for me. But like the side of that is it also does bring me business because people see how creative I am. But what I do is I basically just create a separate page.
Yeah.
So I have like a Makai Media social media, like an Instagram and YouTube, where I just basically knowledge dump. Like it's not crazy editing. I'm not trying.
And you just cross post it?
Sometimes I cross post it. Yeah. But mostly it's just to put all my knowledge about branding and creativity and like social media. I just put it all on one page. And it just kind of works as a funnel. Like I say this a lot. I've said this a lot of times, but I have this one video, the first video I ever posted about like social media, which was a couple of months back. It only got like 300 views in the first 30 days. But that video brought me $31,000 in new business because people, they watch that video for an hour. They like start to understand who I am and how my brain works.
Yeah.
And then they go to my description, they click on my website, they go through that whole funnel and then they get on a sales call.
Are you talking about like YouTube VSL?
Yeah, dude, it wasn't even really like I didn't intend for it to be a VSL. I literally just put out like a podcast of me and my friend talking about content. Yeah. And then I just had a link. The whole description was just a link to my website. And it said, get done for you content here. They clicked on that link and then they hopped on a sales call.
I remember though, what was it? 6 or 7 months ago, you were pumping ads. Yeah. So there was a point where you were like, you were not trying to do act. I also know like the music side has been, I didn't know the acting side was a part of it too. I knew that you released some stuff as a music artist and as a band, but when was that switch? Cause there was a point when you were like, I just want to scale this agency.
Yeah. So that was, I'm trying to think, dude, it's been such a blur this past year. So November, do you know Joel Kaplan?
Yeah.
Yeah. So November of last year. No, November of 2022. November of 2022 was when I first saw an ad by Joel Kaplan. And I basically joined his program, Agency Lab, where they help scale agencies. And around that time in November of 2022, I was making like 10K a month off of just doing people's social media stuff. And so I joined his course. He taught me how to run ads, taught me how to do that stuff. And I was basically running ads like the typical like agency guru was teaching. And I did that for a couple months.
You had some Jason Wojo stuff in there I saw.
I ran that up to, when we were running ads, we ran it up to like 100K a month and then 130K a month after that.
Of new business or recurring business?
Per monthly. So some of that was PIFs, some of that was recurring. It was like half new business, half recurring. But dude, it was a shit show. Like it was not fun for me because we at one point we had 36 active clients and I was the one coming up with all the content and coming up with content, coming up with 30 to 60 videos for 36 different people. That was fucking draining, dude. And like they were paying anywhere between like $2,000 to $4,000 a month, each of those clients. So it wasn't anything crazy. And I kind of,
were you flying out and shooting with them?
No, so I had videographers in each major city, and then they would basically just go out and film for them and then send it back to me. But like the biggest thing was, the biggest shift was when I hired a coach named Matt Ryder. He was the CEO for Jeremy Miner's company. And they were doing like, $60 million at the time when I met up with him. And I basically, I was paying him $60,000 to coach me on business. So to coach me and my business partner on how to actually run this agency and make it like long-term successful. And he changed my perspective on a lot of things, bro. Like at that time, I wasn't taking a lot of money out of the company because I wanted to keep reinvesting it and growing it. And he basically told me that's stupid. Like I need to take chips off the table. I need to put myself first, pay myself first before I pay anything else. So that was a huge mindset shift. And then he also told me that I need to stop running ads because most successful agencies, if your agency relies on ads, you have a shitty agency. Like most agency clients should be from referrals, and most agencies should have a waiting list so big that they never need to run ads. So that was a huge shift in my mind. And then after that, that's also when I got connected to like his network, and then his company, Seventh Level, which is Jeremy Miner's company. They brought me in and they started paying me $25,000 a month to run their social media. I was like, oh, fuck me, man. If one client is paying me $25K, why am I dealing with 10 to 20 shitty ass clients? So I just dropped half my clients and now I'm only working with the big dogs.
Love it, dude. Well, yeah, I think, and I think like, to be honest, you, there's a, the hustle phase of scaling where it's like, until you get that whale. Like the whale will come, but like you have to do all the shitty client stuff in order to get that, that really top level person.
100%
What if actually, can I ask you questions about Jeremy's content? Cause my, I study his content. I know you run it. So it's like, I study, my team like twice a week, me and like my raw preppers, like the people that like were curating the content. We probably do it in a similar phase as you where it's like, I'm not sure if the way you're shooting it now is basically like you just get all the bulk of it and then you're just cutting and documenting. I imagine like he just, at this, at his level, he just has a camera on him at most times.
He has a camera on him pretty much most of the day.
So you're just getting all those raws and then you're just going through it. So my team, that's primarily what we do. And when we were studying stuff, it was just like, I've found a hard time trying to make tactical stuff engaging. There was a point where Jeremy was at the, like when Jeremy exploded, he was at the front end of that, like a cold call back and forth where he was playing both sides. He really, really popped off. And those were like, really, like he was the first one to really do those types of videos where he would do his sales objections, but you from an editing perspective would do like, you know, his face and then black and white with a weird voice, high pitched voice or whatever, the secondary conversation and then back to it. What's your strat now with him where it's like so much of it can probably just be done in convert content? Because it seems like that's mostly what he wants to do is just like the nurture and convert because he already has an audience. So he's fine with like, he's not going after a new viral thing. He's kind of just being like, let's just convert our base.
Yeah. It depends a lot. So it's interesting you say that, because like Jeremy wants one thing, but what the company needs is a completely different thing. Yeah. So it's like, obviously people want to go like super viral. They want to get millions of views still and all this, but the company needs conversions. Yeah. So there's a point where you have to kind of make the switch. And like right now we're focusing heavily on conversions. They get, last month they were getting like 4,000 sales calls per month with their reels.
Yeah.
But this month, dude, we've already gotten, I just implemented like a new ManyChat SOP, and we've already gotten 7,500 opt-ins in the past 11 days.
I love it. I love it. And, like, is that because of the power of the lead magnet, or is that just because, are you doing ManyChat for the sale by chat and not using
Yeah, it brings them into the DMs, but it's mostly just because of trust. Like, when you build up so much trust through your content, people are just going to buy it. Like, have you heard of the Google 7-11-4 rule?
No.
So basically, I don't want to botch this, so I'm going to look it up so I don't misquote it.
You had the clip right there. Dude, the clip. That was the clip.
Yeah. So the 7-11-4 rule is basically, like, before someone buys, they need to consume 7 hours of content. They need to do it through 11 different touch points and in 4 separate locations. So basically, for someone to buy from Jeremy, for it to be, like, an easy lay-down sale, they need to consume 7 hours of his Instagram reels, of his YouTube videos, etc. They need to watch it 11 different times. Like, they need to be hit 11 different times, and then on 4 separate locations. So Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, through VSL, through his website, etc. And once they hit all of those things, they're way more likely to close.
Yeah. Love that. And I think people are undervaluing email as a part of that, because email works just as well. Like, does Jeremy have a podcast as well, or what's his long form? I've never actually looked at his long form stuff.
Yeah, so we have, he does a podcast. What's been crushing for him recently is uploading keynotes and then editing like the first 2 minutes. So like he had a keynote that he posted a year ago and it only got 30,000 views. What I did is I took that keynote, I cut out the first 10 minutes and I put edits on the new intro of that video.
Yeah.
And that same video that he posted a year ago is now at 550,000 views on his YouTube channel. It's his highest viewed video ever.
Yeah.
And it brought him from, now he's at like 140K subs. Yeah. But he was at 30K just a couple months ago.
I think I've seen Hormozy do similar stuff where essentially, because, you know, like once you have so many, at that level, you have so many keynotes. Like he's doing has he done a podcast circuit very much? Like, do you get a ton of podcast content from him?
From Jeremy, I'm trying to get him on a lot more podcasts right now. I know they just got a PR company, so now they're going through, like linking up with a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
But dude, the podcast clips are fucking really where it's at. Like if you're trying to grow your audience and you're trying to get trusted more, you need to hop on podcasts with people who are trusted in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, like everyone kind of does, like there's 5 in Miami. There's 7 in Vegas. Like I just find that usually they just kind of, you just take a trip and you just kind of hit.
Yeah, and then you just rotate through.
You just rotate through them all. Because like you see, I mean, Tony Robbins did it. You know, like you see the same names, but it's like you see the same names because they hit that podcast and then next week they're on the other person's podcast. Yeah. And then they're on the other. So I also do know that like there's that one guy, I will call him out. Sean Mike Evans, do you know him? Sean Mike Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, I was on his pod a couple days ago.
Really? Okay, wait. So you can verify this. You can verify this. I don't want to put you in a weird spot. Yeah. I think he buys his views, like 100%. I think he buys his theme page views. Do you think he does too?
Because I don't know, dude. You can't tell unless you're actually logged into the page. That's the only thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Because your stuff looks so organic. Because like if I don't see a video that flops,
yeah.
How can it be organic?
Yeah, maybe I haven't investigated him. Like, maybe he deletes the stuff that doesn't work out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I know there definitely are people that do buy their views and buy their followers. Yeah. And there's a lot of agencies that I've found this because I've done an investigation on this before. There are agents like the shout out agencies.
Yeah.
What they'll do is they will buy shout outs and then they'll just buy your page followers and say that those shout outs are what brought you the followers. But then if you actually look at your fucking analytics.
Yeah.
You notice that you lose way more followers than a normal account should be losing. And I've seen that on some of my clients.
I haven't found a good resource for theme pages yet. Like, I think Mike Roddy is the only one that I feel like there was enough people that I knew that vouched for him that I was like, okay, that guy seems legit. But it's honestly a scary place. That and like LinkedIn, like any of the shout out theme page stuff, it's hard for me.
Yeah.
It's one thing I know everybody does, but it's hard for me to find like a trusted resource. And it's
I don't like shout outs, bro. I don't like buying followers. Like people are, some of my clients are always like, oh, I want to get a million followers. I want to get blah, blah, blah. And like what they want to do is they just want to pay these shout outs and then buy the followers. But like, those aren't going to convert into sales.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not going to name drop, but like I have clients who always compare themselves to other people in the industry.
Yeah.
That have millions more followers. But bro, like they're doing 25% of the revenue that my client's doing. It's like, what do you really care about?
Yeah. Yeah.
At that point, only thing that more followers does is get you bigger speaking engagements, which like, okay, I get it. But I don't know. It's like a price you have to pay. I feel like I trust someone less when I see they have fake followers.
Yeah.
Like when someone has a million followers and they get like 10,000 views a video, I'm like, bro, what the you look a fucking corny.
Honestly, my favorite accounts all have 100 and like under 150,000 followers.
Yeah.
Those are the accounts where I'm like, everything I see is pretty legit.
Yeah. And then you just trust the person more, bro.
100%. What do you think about the new meta that people are trying people are doing it for people like Jeremy, where it's like you have all this raw content and they pay an agency that basically is like, give me 10K and I will create 10 accounts. And post your content. Andrew Tate stuff, or even just like the people do like on TikTok, the retention hack of like the Minecraft videos, all that stuff on the bottom.
Yeah.
What do you think about
that? I mean, it's not going to be here forever. So like, I also don't have enough data on that to know if it really works. Like I know it worked for Andrew Tate. But like the people have tried it. They stopped paying their agencies. So
yeah,
probably didn't.
There was one guy that did it, but now he's selling it. He's selling the fact that he did it. And that also makes me not trust it.
Bro, there's so much scam shit in the fucking internet marketing space, bro.
It really is, yeah.
It's coaches coaching coaches, bro.
Yeah.
Who coach other coaches.
Do you have any interest in getting in paid ads?
Into paid ads? Like like running paid media?
Yeah.
No, not really. Dude, I really just want to structure most of my day around being creative. And that's also part of why I'm getting bought out I'm partnering with Jeremy Miner and his CEO. Marco Cortezzi. And we're combining so that they're doing all the sales. I'm just coming up with all the content. So they're just going to their whole circle. They're getting in all the clients. And then we're also going a little bit corporate there too, to where, cause Jeremy has these connections with these like big, like he's trained Google, he's trained ExxonMobil, some other big pharmaceutical companies. So we're going more that route to where now I don't have to spend my time worrying about running a business, running payroll, any of that shit. I just come up with the ideas. And then that gives me more free time to... What was that?
You fire your team, right? Didn't you let go of most of your team?
Yeah, I fired half my team, yeah. It's a long story.
Well, I want to hear about that.
Yeah, so it was kind of after I met Matt too. Matt Ryder, and he was coaching me. But he basically just exposed all the bullshit that was in my business. Like we just had way too many employees for what we needed. Like, again, like I said, I was trying to reinvest everything into scaling, but scaling really wasn't the answer. The answer was I needed to take money out, put it into my fucking bank account, stop spending so much on ads and work on like building a real business.
Yeah.
Which before I just had a fucking machine that just ran a bunch of ads and that's how I relied on getting new clients, it wasn't a very good business. But, I think the biggest thing was like, I hired a lot of the wrong people. I hired people just because they were my friends and not because they were actually qualified to do the job.
Yeah.
And then there was like a huge falling out there. And then
I'm right there, bro. I'm right there.
Dude, like one of the biggest things that happened, I hired like two of my friends and then I actually had them move in with me too. Like right when I started the company.
Yeah.
And like I was paying for the rent and everything. They literally lived rent free. I bought an office out here. They came into the office, they worked, but like they just didn't respect me, bro. And like I remember one time I was at a keynote in Orlando, and obviously they didn't respect me because I didn't set the right expectations. So like I wasn't hard on them enough in the start. I didn't call them out when they weren't working, so that's completely my fault. But it got to the point where it's like, I told them they can't fucking throw parties at the office while I'm gone, like any of that bullshit. And then I leave for Orlando to go film with Jeremy, and then my landlord sends me a picture of just the trashed office space. He went in and like the bathroom stalls were like kicked down. The toilets were overflowing and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
So like I called him up, kicked him out that day and haven't really talked to him since. But kicked him out of the house, kicked him out of the team.
That's tough. That's just that's also bad friends. Those are just it's just sucky crew. Were they also in the band or no?
Yeah, so I left that band too. I started making music myself.
All right, well, I want to dive into that for a second, but before we go into it, like, what's from a time management perspective, what's been the biggest difference between like committing all energy to Jeremy stuff versus committing to the agency owner like mindset? Because I do find that like most people that scale past 50K, I mean, you were at 130,
yeah,
but most people that scale past 50K, like, they get bought out by someone like a Jeremy, right? Yeah. That's like, it's like better. Most people are not hiring creative directors, they're going and poaching an agency and just taking that owner.
It's smart, bro.
I think
dude,
it's
running
smart.
An agency, like, sucks.
It does.
Running an agency fucking sucks, bro. It's good money. Like, it's better than working 9 to 5, but it's not like, like, you would make so much more money if you went and worked for someone like a Jeremy and you got bought out, and then you, like, the amount you, so, like, my buyout deal is like a little bit different. Like, it's not like the typical agency buyout. Where I'm just basically hired to be a creative director.
I'm so curious though, because, like, what did you, because you're saying, like, basically you bought Joel Kaplan's thing. Joel, there's a thought that Joel, I think Joel's a good guy. He's quitting, right? So I think he's taking this year off. He's not doing his stuff anymore. But what was the difference between what you had with Joel Kaplan and, like, the systems of scaling? And then once you got, you know, really personalized business coaching, there's something that really shifted your perspective there.
Dude, I mean, it's, you have to be ready for certain things. So it's like, when I invested with Joel, like, I was at a level where I could only handle that stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if I paid 60 grand to Matt Ryder at that time, I would have never been where I'm at because I didn't even understand the fundamentals. So, like, Joel taught me all the fundamentals of things, and then I could grasp what Matt was telling me.
Yeah. Do you, did you guys have editors on retainer, or did you guys do the, I know Joel did, I changed my approach because Joel told me he was doing Rolodex of editors. And I was like, that makes a lot more sense to me. But what was your approach for that for short form? Because that's, I mean, that from scaling perspective.
Yeah.
Just quantity of video is crazy.
So I just have a team of editors, and then I just assign certain editors to certain projects. And then when we have an overflow of footage for that one person, I just bring some of the free editors over to that project too. And then they kind of just go at it. But, like, I've just built up a team of editors over the past, like, year or two. And then I just assign them where I see fit.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Long term, are you wanting to be, if you're saying you want to be an A-list actor, it sounds like you don't want to do anything content related for anybody.
No, I do. I only want to do it for the big dogs though. So, like, the Fortune 500 companies, like, if I can come up with content and, like, ad ideas and all that stuff for, like, the Apples, the Teslas, those big companies, that's what I enjoy doing. Yeah. And, like, my whole thing is, cause I'm always been a creative person. So if I can get to, like, the Rock level celebrity status, I can easily just work with those companies.
Yeah.
So that's, like, my whole big thing. But I wouldn't, like, 20 years from now, like, I wouldn't want to be making content for internet marketing coaches, you know?
what's the path to get into that level? Because that's, you know, 1 million.
But, like, it's working with Matt and Jeremy because they have those connections with those bigger companies. And then starting to go corporate where it's not, where I'm, like, making content and coming up with the creative for some of these bigger companies.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the path.
Yeah. That'd be pretty tight, man. I mean, to be honest, like, that's what Ryan Reynolds has been so successful at. And that's kind of like, because essentially, like, fundamentally, all he is like marketing. And kind of, you mentioned Dwayne, like, Dwayne, Connor, and Ryan kind of all just went that route. But all of them based it off of, like, an incredible amount of fame first. What, for personal branding, like, what do you think is the next step to increase that level of fame? Because you're talking beyond, like, Matt Rife level. If you're talking about creative and comedic.
So I like to look at, there's a couple celebrities that I enjoy their path. So I like Donald Glover, the path that he went. I like Key and Peele. And then I like, Joji.
Yeah.
Joji, like, started with Filthy Frank and making these comedy videos.
Yeah,
and
then he went Flamingo. Yeah.
And then he went to music. And then, like, I enjoy his music.
It's fire.
And then Donald Glover, how he went from doing stand-up comedy and then went into a musician. And then now he's producing and directing movies and in Star Wars movies and stuff like that. Like, I enjoy it. Like, that's the route that I want to take with my life.
Yeah.
And then even Key and Peele. Like, they started with the skits and then the producing. And, like, if they can do it, I think I can do it.
There's this, you're at a different type of comedy though. Like all of them seems like comedy and sketch comedy was like a part of that path. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at like the Friday or Beers boys? And
dude, I love their stuff.
I love their stuff. Are you looking at that and be like, I want to do that kind of stuff?
That's the type of stuff I want to do. The only problem I have is like, bro, I'm such an introvert. I have I'm a very like secluded person.
Yeah.
So I also live in like the middle of buttfuck nowhere. So there's no like actors around me. Yeah. So if I did want to do something like that, I'd probably have to move somewhere where there's more actors. But
are you not in LA?
No, I'm not. I'm in Santa Cruz, California. Okay. It's like 5 hours north of LA.
You know what? Actually, I got a homie that lives out there. It's actually, isn't it? Yeah, it's like a beach town, right?
Oh, it's Reezy, bro.
No, it's not Reezy. do you know Jonah? Jonah FBA?
Jonah FBA, no.
He's another Amazon guy, but he's like, Reezy lives in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, he lives near me.
That's funny. That makes sense.
That's how I started being my mentor. Because I was in one of his YouTube videos, I saw like a store in the background.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, that's the one that's next to my house.
I hit him up. That's funny, dude. I like that, man. I've been realizing, like, even just interacting with Ryan McGinmore, I'm like, the difference between making content for whales, like people, it's one thing that, like, it sucks sometimes to launch something for somebody. It does.
Yeah.
Like, it's harder. You get more reward for it because you have more credit. But like, to be honest, to make someone who has zero and to make them relevant is like,
it's hard.
It's really, really
hard. It's a grind. It's a fucking grind, bro.
And it's like, you can't even equate it to like a number of videos. It's like a number of videos with a certain cadence that only comes after you do 150 videos.
There's so many factors that go into it. There's so many factors. It's like how you look, how you speak, fucking like there's so many things that go into content. Like you could pull every trick in the book and like, fully direct someone and the content just still doesn't do good because of one fucking small reason.
But at the same time, I'm like, dude, there's some people where it's like, if I look at Ryan's clients, I'm like, dude, there's some people you just got to put a camera on them. You know, like Jamie's the type of guy I imagine where it's just like, he's just going to say some, like did you hang out with them and Dan Martell in Miami?
No, I wasn't there that day, but my, my ex-business partner was there and stopped me.
Yeah, I just, like Dan's another one of those guys. Sam runs his content. I hung out with him earlier that day and it's just like, he's just a cool, like, just watch him and you just hang out with him. You're like, if I just put a camera on you, I can ask you a simple question and you're going to be like, you're going to give me the content. Grant Cardone's the same way.
Some people are just wired for it, bro. Like,
I know.
That's the thing.
How did you, when you got to that level of like firing half your clients, how did you determine which ones you wanted to keep and which ones you didn't want to keep? Was it just money related?
Yeah. It was mostly just like, if I had to work hard to keep them as a client. Like if I had to basically beg them to like pay for the next month or like do this next thing, I just wasn't going to ask them and I was just going to let them churn.
Yeah.
Like I could have kept them, but then just the work it would have allowed, like taken me, like, is it really worth it for me? Probably not.
Yeah. What do you think would be a place you could have sat at from a client number perspective? Like say Jeremy didn't come along from a client number perspective and from like a workload perspective monetarily. What would have been like, I could have scaled and I wish I just like stuck there.
I mean, I could have stuck around, if I had the right team, I could have stuck there. But at that time, I didn't have the right team. That's when I still had like those old people that lived with me and stuff. And like, it's crazy because I would try to delegate a lot of that work to them, but they just didn't know all the things that I knew. So I would be up at like 2 a.m. trying to fix their mistakes. And it was just a nightmare for me. Like if I didn't have them and I just did all the work myself, it probably would have been a lot easier. Or if I just hired the right person, which I have someone now who's like way fucking better.
Yeah.
If I had him at that time, like I could have just stayed where I was at and be fine. But
yeah, that checks out. What, so with music stuff, what does that look like working on? Cause I've also talked to people where it's like, it's really hard. The person I started my agency with, he was a musician. He's awesome. I love his music, but like he had a hard time being like, I'm working, you know, 10 hours on this edit, you know, we're doing long form. And it's like working 10 hours on this and then shifting and being like, I want to go write a song. That was like a really hard shift for him. So how do you approach that when you're doing creative and then having to shift to another creative?
I optimize my schedule to be the most creative I can be. So it's like, if there's something that doesn't involve creativity, I just batch it. And then I try to find someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Like I just try to focus most of my day on coming up with creative ideas. Yeah. And then I also like, It's weird because I love doing this stuff. So it's like no matter what happens, I'm always going to come back to either making music, trying to act, or trying to make videos that make people laugh. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's not. It's just second nature for me because like even at the points where I've had like the most money in my bank account, I really didn't want to do anything other than just make music or come up with videos.
What does making music look like right now? How many songs are you putting out?
Dude, so it's there. I just finished my first song like ever solo.
Love it.
It was a huge, dude, the past like month or two has just been a huge learning curve because I don't know how to play any instruments. I don't know how to use any like digital audio workspace.
Yeah.
So I went on YouTube and I taught myself how to do all that.
What are you using? Are you using Ableton?
I'm using Ableton, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was the easiest one to like learn pretty quick.
Yeah. I think that's what people were saying online too. So yeah. I just fucking went with it.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then I found some people on Fiverr to like mix and master stuff too. So went with that, and
cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the rollout. I'm planning all the marketing actually this week for the rollout of this song because it like making music is one thing, but like where you really get seen is just through your marketing. So I have a few strategies that I'm going to try to roll out with this.
Dude, what do you think of that? I could talk to you forever about that. I fucking hate music marketing.
Yeah.
Like. Oh my goodness, dude. It is so cringe. I want to make content making fun of it. I'm planning
the song
on
of
it.
The summer.
Well, that or just like, you know, like the ones where it's like the guy, one of my favorite accounts is Scumbag Dad. Do you like his stuff?
Yeah, yeah. He's sick. He makes fun of us all the time.
I love the ones where it's like the guy sitting at the table and it's like, come sit down if you're sad. And I'm like, this is like the stupidest. It's so, or like, give me three words. Like, give me three words. Happy, and I was like, what? Come on, like the person that falls for this,
it's so fake,
it pisses me off. I was like, I just can't stand it. So what's your
approach?
It works, dude. I'm not even mad about that. It works.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do any of that. If I were to do it, I would do it like a Scumbag Dad thing where it was like obviously satire.
Yeah,
but most of my strategy is going to be focusing around me not even being attached to it. So it's like just getting it to take off separately on TikTok. It would really suck if TikTok got banned tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. They're doing like a court hearing to ban TikTok. If it gets banned, I'm kind of fucked. But
wouldn't it be easy to just shift over to Instagram?
Yeah, shift over to Instagram. But one of the things that I'm trying to do for this song is they have a I noticed this because I get these notifications where basically you set up a campaign on TikTok and people use your sound and they follow your instructions, and if they get a certain amount of views, then it pays them out a certain amount of money. So like my whole strategy for this song rollout was going to be, I'm going to select a snippet of this song and then I'm going to give them instructions to basically have text on the screen, like explaining something funny about that portion.
Yeah.
And then if they get a certain amount of views, then they get paid.
And so it's almost like a UGC.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to roll it out like a UGC to where like, I had nothing to do with it. It kind of just came out organically.
Yeah. I mean, Drake does that. That's been Drake's method. Like there was like, what was it? 3-4 years ago. When he was coming out with Certified Lover Boy, like he did like 4 dances where he paid someone to come up with a dance and a dance trend or whatever, and then they just put ad spend behind it, or at least that first one.
I didn't even know that, dude. It's fun. I'm trying to learn a lot more about like the music marketing and all that stuff because
it's fun, dude. Connor Price still does the best at it. He really does, and that's what pisses me off because I think he approaches it like an actor. He approaches it like an entertainer, and I like so his stuff. Like even though the thing I'm having trouble translating though is how successful, like really the only guy that's really popped off in the last 2 months with music marketing is the I want you, I need you, oh God, that guy, like, and he does like the da 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 stays, da 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 stay, like that. Have you not heard that?
If I see his face, I'll probably know him, but I haven't heard.
He's
that
got
one.
Like a mustache, and he did. It's like that song popped off. I think it's at like 40, 50 mil right now. I think something like that. And it was released like 3-4 weeks ago.
That's great. My 40 is also severely fucked up, so I don't see a lot of that stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm so curious. It's like the translation from TikTok to actual listens and actual listeners.
Yeah.
I don't have enough data on that to know like what actually.
I don't know either. I'm about to find out. Like that's why I'm so excited about this. But what I do know is like. That one campaign that I saw in my notifications, someone trying to get me to promote.
Yeah.
I checked his Spotify and he was at like 400,000 listeners and it was like a fairly new account. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Do you think, what's the style of music you're doing?
Like a, like an alternative rock, like pop rock stuff. I don't really have a specific style I want to stick to.
Who do you listen to?
I listen to a lot of, it's weird because I listen to them, but I don't make like them. A lot of like that. Fuck, let me just pull up my Spotify. I'll just give you my like top recent searches. Like Post Malone, Pink Floyd, Radiohead.
Nice. That's some heavy hitters.
A lot of Radiohead, a lot of Deftones.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And so, yeah, are you going to go, do you want to go more punky or do you want to go more like more emo or?
No, I want to go more like pop, more like mainstream shit.
Okay.
But still have my own style. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I've heard this from Rick Rubin. He was like, learn the rules so you can break them. And like, he said either learn the rules so you can break them or don't listen to enough of the rules. Like, don't study any of the rules so that you just come up with your own. So I think that's kind of like where I'm at. Like, I know some of the rules, so I know not to follow some, and then if I don't want to, do my own. But then I'm also like purposely not trying to learn a lot about like music theory and any of that stuff, so I can just try to come up with my own style.
Dude, Jacob Collier has so much. If you find a podcast of his, he has so many cool things to say about this.
What's his name?
Like Jacob Collier.
Jacob. You know? How do you spell his last name?
C O L L.
Cool. I'll this look guy. Him up after.
Dude, he is so he. I mean, he blew up. He was YouTube 10 years ago, and he was like one of those first like. You know, accounts that did covers that got huge. And then suddenly he's like, he made his own music in his bedroom by himself. And then now he's been on the last 2-3 Coldplay albums.
Oh shit.
So he's like, and he Coldplay's all, yeah. So all of his stuff, like he had John Mayer play guitar on one of his songs. So he's like top tier now, but back, I love hearing him talk about his philosophy where it's like, there's just no, everything he's trying to do is just break rules. It's like, if it has to be syncopated, I'm going to go on a different syncopation. If it has to be, you know, if you're expecting it to be soft, I'm going to give it to you in all these different, like all these different tonalities that really pushes the envelope of what people want to listen to.
That's awesome.
It's kind of like you got the Kanye vibe or like the John Bellion vibe where it's like,
those are the guys that I can relate that to content where it's like, you got to understand, like I understand the rules a little bit about content, but you know, you have to break them a little bit. So like, yeah. Everyone knows that, like, everyone's been adding captions recently, but, like, a lot of people have just been trying to copy, like, the Hormozy-style caption, and it's, like...
The Ryan McGinn style.
literally the Ryan McGinn style. So it's, like, okay, let's not try to look like everybody else, because there's probably millions of people who are pulling this off, and they just are spewing bullshit.
Yeah.
Let me add captions, like, have that be the rule. I'll have captions, but let me come up with my own style of captions.
Yeah.
So it's just finding different ways to stand out.
Do you find, like... The meta right now is steal like an artist. I mean, it's always been the meta, but like, especially with content in all forms, it's like, how can I do my interpretation of this? It seems like you do that, but you're very creative and you're a very new idea where it's like, I'm going to take that to an extreme. Do you find that you're going to do that with music as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's like common themes of songs. So like, I just try to take them and then just give my own spin. Like a lot of the stuff I've talked about in my music, it's funny because I always have like weird ways of coming up with lyrics, but I think of stories and then I just try to make them as fucked up as possible. And I put myself in the mind of that person that's in the story. And then I just think about what they'd be saying. So that's kind of like my take on it.
Yeah. I love that. I think it's really cool, dude. Yeah. I want to hear your stuff. I had my time in music and then I had kids and I was like, nah, I quit. But yeah, if you're looking for producers and stuff, I got some good connects that are of really cool guys. So hit me up if you need that. But I'm going to be sensitive to your time. It's 4. So thanks for talking, man. I appreciate you. Where can people find you? How can people support you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at AUTSYN or on YouTube. Just search up Austin Crispell and I'll be there.
Sweet. If someone can take something away from this or take something away from you and your brand, what do you want them to take away?
Just think more creatively. Yeah, think outside the box. Learn the rules so you can break them.
Yeah, love it. Awesome, dude. Appreciate you. Thanks, everybody.
Go, man.
Peace.
All right. Can't slow us down.